Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Cass Holloway, Commissioner of the New York City Department of Environmental Protection. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Brian Lewis. Cass, you mentioned earlier capital projects, and you have a number in your portfolio, and largely to meet state and federal mandates. Would you elaborate on the top three current projects that represent a significant investment in the future of New York City's drinking water system? And other than revenue collection, how are you financing these projects?
Well, I'm going to break the capital project priorities into two categories. There's mandated projects, and then there are non-mandated or discretionary projects. Mandated projects are, just to define those terms, if there is under the Clean Water Act and the Safe Drinking Water Act, which are federal laws, then rules get promulgated, and then the power to enforce those rules in most cases is then delegated to the State Department of Environmental Conservation. Meeting those rules is something that we're required to do. And in some cases, it requires massive investments, and there's kind of a one-size-fits-all approach to water quality regulation so that New York City, even if our water quality or that our particular circumstances suggest that, well, maybe a certain kind of investment is necessary to maintain public health and water quality, we have to do it anyway. Over the last 7 years, of the $19 billion that has been invested in our water and wastewater infrastructure, 69% of that has been dedicated towards meeting state and federal mandates. The issue with mandated projects is not necessarily that you wouldn't do the project unless somebody was telling you to. The issue is they're not only telling you what to do, they're telling you the timeline on which you have to do it. And that's created a couple of issues. Number one, if we have a state of good repair issue that we think ought to be dealt with before maybe a mandate gets completed, like a filtration plan or an ultraviolet disinfection plan, water rates are used to raise the funding needed to support the system. But the need to do a lot of these mandated projects at the same time has put a tremendous pressure on water rates. In fact, this year we had a 12.9% increase. It was the fourth double-digit increase in a row. That is because we are in a period of unprecedented development in the system. We have on the mandated side of things a water filtration plant that we're building in the Bronx, the Croton Water Filtration Plant, which is $2.8 billion. We're building a ultraviolet disinfection facility that is just south of the Kensico Reservoir. That's about $1.6 billion. We are completing a massive upgrade to the Newtown Creek Wastewater Treatment Plant. The overall cost of that when we're done will be about $5 billion. And part of the reason for that astronomical cost is that we still have to treat the 240 million gallons of wastewater that flows through that plant every day while we are literally rebuilding it from the ground up. So the combination of time and then the infrastructure required to meet a standard has really put us in a place where, yes, we've raised water rates in order to meet these mandates, but you can only go so far. At a certain point, you have to just defer other investments. The financing of our operating and capital program is pretty simple. Water users are charged a rate for their water and their sewer use, and that rate has to be sufficient to cover four things. One is the cost of debt service, because all of our capital program, essentially, with the exception of some money that is used for pay-as-you-go capital, but that's a very small amount, we float bonds to fund that capital construction. Then there's operations and maintenance costs. It's our expense budget's about $1 billion a year. Then there is a payment that we make to the city, the so-called rental payment every year, which funds essential city services. And every major city in America makes this kind of a payment. Some call it an intergovernmental payment. We call it a rental payment. So there's that payment. And then finally, there's that pay-as-you-go capital piece. And we've had about $100 million in that category for the last few years.
Interestingly enough, you know, I just want to get a sense of, aside from the state and federal mandates that you were trying to fulfill, you folks would do this. It's a good thing. It's just the way they're telling you how to do it. But aside from that, how do you identify, prioritize, and allocate investment across projects? Could you give us a sense?
Well, this gets to those discretionary projects because there are a number of projects that are underway that probably the single most important project is City Water Tunnel Number 3. The mayor recognized early on that this tunnel, which is going to give you the capacity to distribute that you need to turn off or shut down City Tunnel Number 1 and Number 2, obviously in a very planned way, to ensure that you can do regular maintenance and upkeep on them. City Water Tunnel Number 1 has been going strong since it was turned on in 1917. City Water Tunnel Number 2 has been going strong since it was turned on in 1936. So that's a long time without a break. So City Tunnel Number 3, now putting the tunnel in the ground is complicated, and then making sure you have the connections to the distribution network. We have about 9 or 10 projects going on simultaneously. Overall, how do we make this discretionary set of investments? Well, our operating bureaus up until the last couple of years had been identifying and keeping track of their capital assets and the investments that need to be made. But we also now are almost complete with a comprehensive asset management, development of a comprehensive asset management. I would call it a plan, but it's more of a tool. It's going to be a full listing of all of the agency's major capital assets. And in order to build our next 10-year capital plan, we're putting together business cases and packages of projects that will be based on what is posing the greatest risk, what do we need to deal with right now. So you're asking that question, and where you happen to be in the midst of a kind of a transformation of the way that we do that.
So we've been talking about these mandated projects. In addition to the mandated projects, would you highlight for us some of the DEP's most critical investments in each of the 5 boroughs of the city, and that ensure its water system is viable for the next 100 years? And maybe you can comment on what extent is the ARRA, American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, is that helping?
The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act is absolutely helping. We got $219 million in ARRA funding, which enabled us. We have 9 projects that are underway right now that otherwise wouldn't be underway. And a lot of those have to do with energy efficiency. And that's critically important. And it's a welcome return of the federal government into the funding arena for water and wastewater infrastructure. They've been largely absent from that field for the last 10 years. There is if you look at the history, and I had this prepared by decades, 70s, 80s, 90s, and the first decade of the new century, we basically peaked out at about $1 billion of funding from the feds in the 1980s. That was cut in half to $522 million in the 1990s. And over the last 10 years, it's been maybe about $44 million. So it really was New York City ratepayers pay about 99.9% of the costs. We are now doing substantial water main and sewer main investments in all 5 boroughs, but particularly in Staten Island and Queens, where we're still finishing building out parts of the water and sewer network. For Staten Island, we're also building a $250 million water siphon, which is going to be, really make the water supply to Staten Island robust. I'm thinking through the boroughs. I talked about the Croton Wastewater Treatment Plant in the Bronx, in the Newtown Wastewater Treatment Plant in Queens. I think about things in terms of our drainage areas. We have 14 wastewater treatment plants. Right now, 7 of them, 50%. Are under some form of major capital construction. So the project at Newtown Creek is $5 billion. There's $300 million worth of work happening at our Hunts Point wastewater treatment plant. Now, that's bigger than the budget of a number of city agencies. So it's a big program.
You know, you just mentioned doing work more cost effectively, and in general, just with the troubling picture of city revenue. And I understand the fact that you folks aren't affected by the citywide program to eliminate the gap. But what are you doing to that end to manage your resources and your efforts more efficiently?
Well, it is true that DEP is, since we have water revenues, are used and almost exclusively dedicated to fund the capital work and the operations and maintenance of the water system, that is a dedicated stream. And so we are not within, when you have a program to eliminate the gap, we don't get counted in the same column of agencies that have to deal with that. And it's been very challenging. I think there have been 8 of those, and the commissioners have done a tremendous job working through those very challenging exercises and still delivering services. But that dedicated revenue stream is a blessing and a curse. I mean, if you need more revenue to build a plant that you need to build faster than you thought you did, there's only one place to go for it, and that's water rates. And in order to set water rates, DEP comes up with a proposal, and then I go out to all 5 boroughs and I have to explain what the proposal is. So I have a strong incentive for that proposal to be, if it's going to be an increase, for it to be as low as possible. And I can tell you, having gone out and done that, I've now been around the boroughs twice since coming in January. First, just as a general informational tour, and then in this rate setting process where we did raise rates by 12.9%. It was lower than we initially forecast, but still, in this environment, any increase is very difficult for people. So what do we do to get control of costs? Well, there's the options. The first thing I asked our senior managers to do on the budgeting side was wanted to do an 8% across the board expense budget cut. It had been a long time since DEP, not that we weren't doing things cost effectively, but for exactly the reason that you identified, I think there just wasn't a sense that, well, can we do this? My sense was, I think we will be able to. And we were. And I think the credit of our managers, they've done a good job. 6,000 people sounds like a lot, but when you think about the magnitude of the infrastructure that is required to deliver water and treat wastewater, it's pretty far flung, and so it's a challenge. So that was one thing, and then we're in the midst of a project by project capital review, where we're looking both by doing this asset management tool and program, plus the project review to say, well, what are we building? Why are we building it? When are we building it? And is there an opportunity to move, stretch, do things that will ultimately lower the burden or the need in the immediate future, so that next year, if there's an increase, it's as low as possible?
How is New York City ensuring its water system is viable for the next 100 years? We will ask Cass Holloway, Commissioner of the New York City Department of Environmental Protection, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.